Like to call to order the Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, regular board meeting. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mrs. Tornero.
Here.
Mr. Truex.
Here.
Mr. Whitman.
Here.
Mr. Begany.
Here. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. Item 2.01 and 2.02, approval of the minutes from the July 12th and July 22nd board meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved second. By Mr. Whitman, second by Mr. Truex. Any discussion?
Will the special, the meetings from the special August 1st meeting be up for approval next month?
Yes, we take each month the following month.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Item 3.01, approval to the agenda this evening. Madam Superintendent, do we have any changes to the agenda tonight?
President Begany, there are no changes.
Thank you.
Microphone's on, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
How about now? Okay.
All together.
Everyone, okay. Seeing how there are no changes to the agenda, may I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, seconded by?
Second.
Ms. Dunlap. No other discussion. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. And now we have the wonderful pleasure of welcoming State Representative Heather Bischoff to Reynoldsburg to recognize our initiative to raise awareness of the issue of human trafficking, which is becoming a very good tradition here in Reynoldsburg.
Thank you, President Begany, and the rest of the Board of Education members, Superintendent. Thank you so much for having me out every year to acknowledge this fine group of students behind me. For those of you that don't know, they are very special human beings. They take time out of this high school experience, this social opportunity to invest in quite the heavy topic, and that is human trafficking. In addition to that, they also learn how to talk about advocacy and prevention. So just to talk to you a little bit about human trafficking, here in the state of Ohio, Ohio has ranked as high as fifth in the country for how many cases we've identified. Every single year, there are approximately 1,078 cases of human trafficking in Ohio. Toledo has ranked as high as fourth as a city in this country for human trafficking. But this isn't just an issue for the state of Ohio. It's not just an issue for the country. It is a global issue. At any given time in this world, there are approximately 40 million people enslaved. Think about that for a minute. 40 million people. That's the size of Texas, or four Ohios. The industry itself is a $35 billion a year industry. So it's going to take a lot to put a dent in it. So taking it to a slightly more personal level, human trafficking, if you think about those 40 million human beings for a moment, each of you in this room have a nice cushy chair. You all have hopefully comfortable clothes on, comfortable shoes on. Hopefully you have some food in your stomach. We are here tonight to support and provide accolades to this group of wonderful young people. But there are 40 million people on the planet that don't have that right now. So it's a scary, scary thing. And again, I want to thank these young people. So what I'd like to do, I see that our whole group is not here, but I'd love to have all of them stand. And when they stand up, I'd love for them to introduce themselves and tell you how many years they've committed to the Youth Human Trafficking Coalition here in Reynoldsburg, if that would be acceptable to you.
Come on up, guys.
And then, I said a lot of big scary stuff there. I also asked them out in the hallway if they would share one thing that we could do to prevent or promote awareness when they come up too.
Hi, Will. My name is Naya. I've done the coalition for 1 year now. The coalition, what we do is definitely something special. When we went through it, he had us kind of learn people's perspective of how they go through everything and basically teach us of how people feel and basically show us the emotion that we probably wouldn't feel by just talking about it regularly. So one of the things that Max said that we could do is definitely talk about it, not let it be something that we kind of push to the side and kind of let happen. We have to talk about it and make sure it is known to people.
Hello, I'm Oisha Jeffrey, and I've been in the coalition for a year now. And one thing that you can do to prevent human trafficking is always inform people. Inform people. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Taylor Kendrick. I have been in the Human Trafficking Coalition for 1 year now. And one thing Mr. McGrady always tells us to look out for is just notice changes in some of our classmates and peers. Because even if they won't talk about it, we kind of can tell and we get a feeling when something isn't right.
Hi, my name is Rochelle Ross. I've been 1 year with the Human Trafficking Coalition. And I think that a way that we could change and make a difference and stop this going on is by letting our neighborhoods and the kids know what's going on, even younger kids, and letting the people of like the suburban neighborhoods, let them know to not always keep your windows open, letting anybody see everything that you have in your house. And so also, keep your kids aware of everything, of their surroundings. Yes, and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Michaela Gittins, and I participated in the coalition last year. So one thing that we can all do to combat human trafficking is to do like Taylor said, and just be aware of changes that you see in your friends or your peers. So if you see a friend who is usually happy, but she or he is just, he has a major change in mood or emotions, you can just ask them like, what's going on? And make people aware, like the right person at your school or institution or workplace, make them aware that you see a change in this person and maybe direct them to them or introduce them to them so that they can see if something is really going on.
Hi, my name is Cordelia Moore. Can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I agree with what Taylor said, is being aware of what is going around or what is happening around us. Is if you see your friend acting different, you should tell somebody or even go and talk to her or him about the situation. If she's not comfortable talking to you, then probably get involved with an adult so they can also know, but don't go spreading anything to anybody else. Just keep that between you and that person and that older adult, and just talk about it more and bring more awareness to the community.
Hi, my name is Sydney Stevens, and I've been in the coalition for about a year now. And I think a good way to help spread awareness for human trafficking is to do something just as simple as telling someone what the actual definition for human trafficking is. So I think a lot of people, they think human trafficking and they think someone being held in a basement, tied up and never seen, when actually it's people that you see every single day. You can go to school with them, you can go to work with them, and like telling people that and getting that out for the world to actually know.
Hello, my name is Raymere Bird, and I've been in the Human Trafficking Coalition for about a year. I believe if you really want to battle against human trafficking, you really have to get yourself together. Make sure everything, all problems with you is resolved. And if you want to, know, go out and venture and try to support the masses and things like that that might be attacked and whatnot. Try to really bring tranquility to everybody. You know, really don't just really let things, certain things slide. Like, if certain people are coming at you with, like, anger, you know, any type of emotion that is not happiness, I believe you should just really go out and really try to find out what's wrong with them. Try to be relatable. Try to touch, you know, certain people's hearts and stuff. And that, I mean, that's really it. You can't stop. You just have to stay motivated, stay dedicated, because as soon as you stop, you're probably like 10 more people are gonna get captured, and things around that nature. You know, as soon as you stop, there's hundreds of people, not even in our country, that's, you know, being captured, or being enslaved, being raped, all those type of things. And it's not just females. So people can't just solely look at females. Oh, you have to protect the women and things like that, because men and boys are being captured too. So really make sure everything is, you know, clear and apparent in your eyes. And if you see it, stop trying to hide certain truths and stop being afraid of consequences when you're trying to do good.
Hi, my name is Joshua Myers. I've been doing this program for 3 years now. And what we can do to prevent is go for what our generation is now focused on more than what's focused on around them, and that's the cell phone and social media and wanting to fit in with everyone and wanting to do what they do instead of being their own leaders and leading the people that look up to them, which are the children, and leading them to victory and never failure. Because if there's one thing I've learned in this program is, you know, you make yourself a leader, not the people around you, or not your friends, you're your own leader, and this is what this program is about, to be a leader and make sure that everyone is saved from their own defeat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Every year around the first of the year, January, there is a meeting where these students actually are in charge of a presentation. It's usually over at Summit High School. It's not always a happy meeting. The topics are very serious, as well as they have guest speakers come in who have actually experienced human trafficking. I've gone the last 3 years, and you don't walk out with a dry eye, but you also walk out with a little bit more realization of how close to home these things can be. So I thank them all for being here this evening. Moving on, item 5.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. Tonight we will start with Mr. Whitman.
Okay, well, all right, welcome back, everyone. And I'd like to thank our new principal at Bell Academy. I'd like to thank Mrs. Kim Cox for stepping up to do that when time was of the essence, and I understand that Mrs. McLeod, Dawn McLeod, is going to be helping her along with that. So thank you both, and I wish you good luck this year. Okay. There's been some questions about what's going on with the construction in front of the Livingston Avenue campus, and how long is it going to go on. So I brought my notes from the Buildings and Grounds meeting way back in January, where the city guys told us that, well, they're trying to extend the bike path all the way to Bryce and Livingston and replace some stoplights. They were going to start in June or August, and it looks like they sure did. Some pieces of the job, they said, might stretch to October. In particular, the stoplights might take a while to get in there. But inconvenient as it is, it, as far as I can tell, you know, is not running behind schedule yet. I think three more things. Okay. One is, as many of you know, the No Child Left Behind Act, which has been the driver of so much focus on, you know, on testing and teaching to the test and gobbling up more and more parts of the school day for testing. Well, that's now been replaced by the Every Student Succeeds Act. And the main thing that act does is it puts a lot of these federal mandates Well, now it's up to the states. So depending on what the states choose to do, the situation could be exactly the same if they just keep on doing the same thing they've been doing for the last few years. Or it could get better if they make some positive changes, or, you know, who knows, it could even get worse. So so now is the time when our legislators and State Department of Education need to hear from us about what, you know, what form we would like the ESSA to take here in Ohio. And if you've been writing to legislators and board members, way to go, carry on. But I wanted to let you know that the Department of Education, along with a couple of other outfits, has been putting together informational meetings across the state called ESSA stakeholder meetings for people to come, you know, exchange information about this and share their ideas. And one of these is happening in Columbus, August 31st. It's in East Columbus, somewhere on Mount Vernon Avenue. I'll be going there. It's I think from 6 to 8 in the evening. I've shared the page on my Facebook page. I hope I'll see some of you there, if for no other reason that, you know, that there's like 6 or 7 breakout sessions and I can't go to all of them. So we need to, you know, divide the, you know, spread the knowledge around here. Another issue that I'm hoping that maybe the policy committee might be able to consider this sometime during the school year, but our district policy on student suspensions goes back to May 2012, but I've been reading about it recently and hearing from people, and it sounds like there's suspensions. Most of the evidence seems to say that they don't do such a good job of reducing the problem behavior. In many cases, they may actually contribute to it, and that the main reasons that it's been kept is that it's cheap, familiar, and convenient. So, if there were discussions about this during the, you know, when this policy was adopted, or maybe since then that I don't know about, I think, you know, those records, along with, you know, any more current information that could be brought to bear. That's just something I think ought to be revisited sometime this year, whatever we ultimately decide about suspensions. And finally, on a funner note, if you can say that, if any of you teachers from middle school levels on up are looking for warm-ups for the class, like, you know, mental exercises or maybe some enrichment or something, allow me to recommend the puzzles in this red folder, which I'll leave on the table later on. These are puzzles from international academic competition that takes place every year. Those of you who know me know that it's the North American Computational Linguistics Olympiad. These puzzles promote awareness of grammar, of mathematical thinking, of logical thinking, and are sort of an interesting exposure to some cultural things, too, with languages you may never have heard of. And so anyway, yeah, I'll leave those there. If anyone wants to ask about those or what the answers are, I'll be happy to talk with you about that later on. So good. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mrs. Dunlap.
First of all, I see a few other people, a few of the students filtering back in, but I wanted to say congratulations to them. I'm so glad that we recognize them. I did go to one event at Livingston this year and listened to a survivor of human trafficking, and it just put a face on it. As one of the students said, you know, just define what human trafficking is. I think a lot of people don't even have their mind wrapped around that concept, and it was a very moving and emotional and eye-opening day for me. So congratulations to them for all that they work, that they do. I was amazed by the responses that they gave us as to, you know, what we can do to prevent human trafficking. Very mature, and many of them have only been in it for 1 year. Just welcome back to everybody for the brand new school year. It was very early for me, and I still think I'm in summer mode, but once the kids got back in and supplies were put out on the table and put into book bags and organized. We got excited about it, and I've heard good things. Sort of in the same vein, we made some major adjustments to the dress code, and as I've been out driving and dropping off kids and picking them up, I have to say that I think our kids look great. I thought they looked very, very good, and I was very pleased to see that. I just wanted to bring up the topic of homecoming. I know that the student council has asked a number of different civic groups in the community and then also in the schools to participate. They're going to be having a parade this year, which is I think is a wonderful idea to bring the community and the schools together, to bring all of the academies together under, you know, one event, all as Raiders. And I didn't know if I could ask even here, it's not a formal vote, but get a yay or a nay. I will offer to coordinate a float if the board would like to have their own float in the parade this year for homecoming.
Can only imagine what that will look like. I think it's a good tradition. I would be in support of. I've seen the same emails. I would be in support of something like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts?
I'll be supportive. We can use my truck to pull the float.
Some people, I know some people love to dress up in costumes, and some people, you know, like to, you know, make floats and things, but when I picture either of those things, it's like, you do it, you know. I can offer my, you know, moral support, but, you know, if I don't have to do it.
Would you participate?
Would you ride
on a float?
Okay, if riding on it, yeah, okay, that's, yes. I could probably do that. You know?
Oh, come on, Neil, you can dress up for the occasion. You can put on a costume.
This was to be a wonderful idea to bring, you know, all the academies together again in one joint effort, and then to bring in the community as well in the district, and I really supported that idea, so maybe I will go ahead then and contact City Council. I know they were looking for volunteers, so I will volunteer us. And I just wanted to say again that thanks again to Rhonda Eberst. I know I saw you in the hall and you're in here somewhere, for an incredible address during convocation. Very moving, and again, brings us back to the idea as we start a new school year that the bottom line is always our student and our children. You are making impressions that will last a lifetime. And I know Rhonda talked about hers. I told her afterwards, I have my Mrs. Appa. And I think we all have somebody that has just moved us so much in our lives, and teachers and administrators and custodians and bus drivers and librarians and everyone has the opportunity who touches that child during the school day. They have that opportunity. And really, I would love to see. I know that we acknowledge our teachers through our fellowship awards when going above and beyond, and Rhonda is one of those incredible examples of a classified employee who does that as well, and I would really like to see us sometime in the near future recognize classified employees and things that they do above and beyond for our children and our schools sometime in the near future. And I think that is it. Thank you.
Mrs. Tenero?
I don't have anything at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Truex?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank Representative Bischoff and the coalition members that came this evening. That's a very moving issue, and I wish them all the best. I think they have the right plan. They need to continue to spread information and stay on top of it. So I'd also like to welcome back all the students, the teachers, the staff, the administrators, everyone for the 2016-2017 school year. Let's make it a good one. I've been very impressed with what I've seen after the changes to the dress code, as Debbie had mentioned. Our kids are looking sharp. Let's keep it up, and let's have a good year. Thanks.
All right. One item that we do need to cover briefly is where will we have our next board meeting? I know that there's been a lot of conversation about Where we started at the beginning of last year, or earlier this year in January, about moving our board meetings to the locations of the buildings themselves. So this will probably be a good time to kind of revisit that as we're getting close to the normal school year. We didn't want to intrude on the schools as they were just getting started for this part. So I'd like to open up the floor to comments from the board members if they have any opinions as to whether this is something that we should continue or should we return to City Hall, or what their feelings were on the process with this. So I'll open up to whomever would like to jump in.
Well, I'd like to say, just for myself, I think that it's been a great experience going to the schools and getting to interact with parents and students and teachers, administrators who we might not otherwise get to meet or to interact with. And I think it's drawing more of our community into the schools, which is a good thing. It's more support.
If I could step in, and even before I give an opinion, Todd Starr, if I could ask you a few questions about, he had done some number crunching, and when it came to additional hours in moving these to the different buildings, I know Livingston, it was 24 total hours to prepare and to clean up. Wagner Road Junior High was 22. I should have put my readers on for this. Hannah Ashton was 22, Rose Hill 22, and Slate Ridge Elementary 22, for a total of 112 hours for setup. And I'm not just talking table. And that's what I'm going to ask you to explain a little bit, how you arrived at that, because it was a total of $733 per meeting, or $3,666 total that we spent. How many meetings? Five meetings.
So a lot of it depends on the school we have the meeting in. So if we go into like a Livingston, that the seats are already there, et cetera. So some of the schools are more conducive to board meetings than others. Some of them, we have to basically meet on site ahead of time, determine where are we going to have the meeting, what's the sound look like, the audio, visual type of things. Some of these schools, we have to transport chairs to the schools themselves because not all the schools have enough seating there. And so, part of it is getting, I think that the first time through, it is going to take a little bit more work because a lot of people are getting familiar with that. There are some schools that are much easier to house the meetings than others that are probably a little bit more current, or the seating and everything else. But the biggest thing is it does require some planning on the front end, from our leadership team to come on site, everything from the tables, the chairs, IT to get there. Do we have all the mics? Do we have all the sounds? Food service to get there. We need to make sure we have the tablecloths. I mean, there's just a lot of parts and pieces of that. And it's something that, it's a value to the community. We're happy to do that. But there is time it's taken out of the current day, and sometimes even overtime that's incurred as a result of the meetings.
Okay, so if a lot of this is kind of the first time work, because we haven't done this before, would it be fair to say that might diminish a little bit as time goes on and we get better at this?
I think the time that will diminish be more the management time. So part of our management team will come out and look at it, and then from that, we'll decide, what work needs to be done, what's the right workforce to help us with that. So we're still going to have, the custodians helping, set up the tables, staying during the meetings. We'll still have the IT staff there to help with the setup and stuff like that. So we'll still have staff hours and those types of things, but it will reduce the amount of time that we have from our leadership team and that kind of the management
and the
piece
planning
of this.
Right. And I know that is something that is difficult, and even we feel it. I know I feel it when I'm sitting here with a mic in front of me that operates 100% of the time and it's sitting right there. But other schools that I've looked at, Hilliard, Bexley doesn't rotate around all the different schools, but they do have to set up and tear down in their community space once a month, and then Whitehall as well. And they have a audio system that transports. So it's kind of like you roll it in, you put it out, and you're done, and you know it's going to work. So an investment in that would probably reduce the amount of time spent on setup, would it not? Because you wouldn't be scouting out each school.
Potentially. I mean, most of the schools have some sort of audio equipment already within them.
It's a matter of
plugging into it. But in terms of sharing the mics and everything else, that's still going to be. And the other thing it's helped is, I know a lot of the community members after the last meetings we've had in the schools have helped tear down the chairs. And we've seen, even with a whole army, we're still spending 30 minutes or an hour tearing down the chairs and tables at the end. That's helped, you know, cut the cost down because we're not, you know, using, district workforce to do the teardown piece. So if we can continue those types of things, that helps, you know, offset, you know, some of the costs and some of the labor that we're having to put out there in order to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I know when I talked to Whitehall just recently, you know, they had 2 hours for setup and teardown. And but again, as they say, it's a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for a long time. I still feel very strongly that we continue going around to some of the different buildings. You know, if this is, I was taken aback by the incredible amount of numbers, hours, and then also the dollar amounts that came out on this list. I mean, even business services leadership, 8 hours for one meeting, I mean, that's a whole day's work. I found that very hard to wrap my head around that. But if it, it becomes a well-oiled machine, everyone that I've talked to in other districts say it's, you know, it's well worth it. But they have been doing it for a while. So I know that I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from both teachers and administrators and community members coming to the buildings. I know I like to be in that building and kind of put my feet on the ground, know everything that's going on, but you get a sense of what some of the kids are doing in the schools. And I think that community members and parents appreciate having board members come in as well. And I know in some other districts even they have a little bit of, 5-minute presentation by the children in that school. And that's something that means a lot to those kids as well. I'm still going to advocate for us moving this around to the different schools. With number one, I would like to see us make an investment into an audio system that is very easy to set up and tear down. That we kind of discussed, might cut down on some costs. I know that there are some technology differences that are at each school, some being older, some being newer. And then looking at the fact that it just might become a little bit more well-oiled the longer that we do it, and we might get a little bit more efficient at it. So that's about it from me.
Okay. I'll add that I've enjoyed visiting the schools for the meetings here, but I've also discovered that, you know, through the course of the year, often there will be invitations to come to one event or another at various schools, like the read aloud night or STEM night or innovation night. And regarding how many, if we get increased attendance there, board member Truex says that we do. I'm not sure. I've seen smaller crowds and bigger crowds than this in the schools that I've been in, or in the meetings. So I find that, you know, having to share the mic, well, if that problem could be solved with a portable audio system, that wouldn't be an objection anymore. But as for the feedback I've been hearing, I've heard from a handful of people, about 3 or 4 have indicated that they would like the meetings in the school buildings to continue. One has said now they'd rather see it back in City Hall, just because it's predictable. It's easy to know where it is every month instead of having to go to the website and check and make sure you have the right place. So with that, I have no strong feeling either way.
I do have strong feelings that we should stay here. All we have to do is turn off the lights when we leave. Right now, it's to the tune of something over $8,000 to move it around, and then there's a talk about an investment in the sound system and also the confusion as to where the meeting is. A lot of times people walk in right at 6:30 or maybe a little after when they come to the school, so it's not like they can really, then sometimes the meetings go long and someone has to leave mid-meeting, so I don't know how much showcasing of the school is really going on. But just when it comes down to the finances and even the product at the end of the day, you know, if you cross your legs, you might pull the microphone off the stand, off the table. And, you know, I just really have to look at that $8,000+ and feel the fact that we have this beautiful place turn off the lights and we're done makes a lot more sense to me.
I think, can we measure the value of being in the buildings is the question. We know how much the financial cost is to go into these areas, whether we invest in some sort of sound system or not. It's a question of whether or not does the community feel value with the idea of being back into the buildings. You're right. The confusion factor is something that's there that I know I was talking with a few people about that. They're not sure exactly where the meetings are, things of that nature. But then on the other hand, we also get a chance to see schools that maybe we don't normally get a chance to see. So, like Neil, I like the idea of being in the other buildings. I don't like the idea of the cost of the other buildings just because of that. It concerns me that that's a lot of hours put into it. I know there's significantly more to it than a teacher, but usually when I get into a classroom, it doesn't take very long to get an audiovisual program set up and things like that. But there's other things. There's the chairs that you talked about, stuff like that. And it is kind of a new function with it. Unless there's other discussion, we can open it up for a motion if there is one, or we can table it until to think about it to see how much it would cost to finish out the rest of the year. It depends on what everyone would like to do in this process.
I would like to make a motion now because we don't have anything scheduled for next month. I don't think everybody's pretty sure in their ideas what they would like to see.
Mr. Whitman, you were about to...
There's a motion on the floor. So,
well, I didn't put a motion yet, but I said, okay. I think we should move forward with a motion tonight rather than wait to think about it because we have a meeting next month to think about.
Understood. Just one final thing I forgot to mention, but if we're in a school on a particular night, then that makes it difficult or impossible for other school groups or community groups that may need to use it, which can't feasibly have their meeting here, but we know that this place will always work. So I would say that's another factor, weighting in favor of keeping it here. And I agree that we should make some decision tonight. So I move that we vote to keep the meetings here at City Hall for the remainder of this calendar or for the 2016-17, school year.
It would be the calendar year, I think.
Oh, calendar year? Okay, all right. So,
calendar year.
So I move that we have the remainder of the board meetings here in City Hall for the remainder of the calendar year.
Second.
Any further discussion? It's a tough decision. For me, just because I do like to get a chance to go in the schools. I'm a teacher by day, so I don't get to have that many opportunities to go out into the buildings during the day while the teachers are there. I don't think my administrator would like that too much. But so I kind of like being able to go in. But on the other hand, Mr. Whitman did bring up a lot of opportunities that when we're invited to come to the schools, and I love it when I get invited to come to certain things, especially the art shows and some of the music groups and things of that nature, has an opportunity to do so. If there's no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Nay.
Mr. Truex?
Nay.
Mr. Begany?
Always leave it up to me. due to the nature of the cost at this time, I'm going to vote in favor of this to come back to City Hall. It's an awful lot of money at this point in time until we figure out how to get this done in a better way. But I would like to revisit this issue at some point in time. Meanwhile, as we move on from that, there's one other item that I did want to discuss as we move forward, and that is charter schools. We had the opportunity to speak at an education forum with Ms. Bischoff and former First Lady Strickland last week talking about the impact of charter schools, and so I started investigating a little bit more. Some of you may be aware of the numbers, the amount of money that's out there right now that is leaving districts, and some districts are actually, for lack of a better term, billing the Ohio Department of Education for that money. So I started looking up and investigating, and this is just a ballpark figure, but Reynoldsburg City Schools has lost about $3.5 million to charter schools, which is a very large amount of money that's coming out, and a lot of that is going to come from the taxpayers' dollar. With real quick thing, without the cap, I think the state gives us around about $4,800 and change for our students to come to Reynoldsburg City Schools. And yet, charter schools, if a student leaves Reynoldsburg to go to a charter school, we're expected to make up the difference for that, whether they're coming here or not, which means that that's taxpayer money that is supposed to be in Reynoldsburg leaving. Now, some charter schools are good and they perform services for us. Other charter schools have had lackluster ability to kind of succeed with their scores, and those are kind of the issues that are out there right now. So what I would like to do is I would like to find out exactly how much money Reynoldsburg is actually losing to verify it, and like many other districts around there, actually invoice the Ohio Department of Education for that, not because charter schools are bad, but because charter schools need to be held to the same accountability level as a public school. We shouldn't be mingling this money all the way across, because what ends up getting hurt is our district, especially when you look at certain charter schools that have very low performing scores. Their students are not getting the education that is perceived, and like I've mentioned many times in this room and others around, that's not right. If some of these buildings were in our district and part of our school accountability, we would not stand for those types of scores. So I think for financial purposes and for the benefit of the taxpayers of Reynoldsburg, we need to do this. Now, keep in mind, this is just a show. We're not going to get a check from the Ohio Department of Education. Be nice, but it's not going to change anything. But what it may do is it may signal to people out there that this is a serious issue, especially when the community realizes that that's $3.5 million. To give you a comparison sake, our open enrollment is roughly about the same. And we know that open enrollment has kept Reynoldsburg without having to come to the taxpayers for a levy since 2010. That has definitely helped. Imagine if this is money that was back in our district as well. Not only would the schools get a very good education, but on top of that, that would further secure our finances in this district. So I'd like to look forward to that in the future. That ends the public commentary on that, but I do have one thing that was brought up, I think it was last month. Crystal Lundquist-Davies was here, and she was talking about the resolution to recognize for Feed Ohio. We did this last year, and so I have the information here to kind of go ahead and put it up for a vote again. I will quickly read through it just so everybody realizes what it looks like. Whereas volunteerism strengthens communities, addresses vital societal concerns, and enhances the quality of life for all citizens. And whereas community organizations, faith-based organizations, civic and humanitarian groups, and governmental agencies are encouraged to organize local events which meet unique community needs. And whereas helping the most vulnerable among us is a value to all common to all faiths, it is fitting to celebrate and encourage efforts by the interfaith community to help those struggling to improve their quality of life. And whereas hunger is the issue of grave concern that transcends geographic and faith boundaries and must therefore be addressed with efforts in every part of our city and state. And whereas the Reynoldsburg City School District community is encouraged to join with Ohioans and Americans throughout the country to commemorate the National Day of Service on September 11th, 2016, by participating in a statewide volunteer challenge focusing on the issue of hunger. And whereas Ohio Faith and Community Service Groups will join with the governor to organize and execute a statewide interfaith effort in 2016 to raise money and collect food products for pantries throughout the state. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Reynoldsburg City School District Board of Education does hereby recognize September 1st through September 30th, 2016, as Ohio Volunteer Challenge. Feed Ohio 2016 and encourage all members of the Reynoldsburg City School District community to take part in its observance. I do motion that this become an active thing, and only because I believe Ms. Lundquist-Davies would like to throw a pie in my face at some point in the near future. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Truex. Any other discussion?
I don't see anything in this resolution about pies, so how does that get into the picture?
Well, last year we had the STEM team come in, and they actually created a catapult, and the catapult was able to kind of launch pies into the face of the board members that chose to participate. So that was just one example of ways to raise funds for it. Other ways are, and I can let Ms. Davies kind of speak to this if she would like, anything from collecting food from the community to having schools do penny drives or whatever else that it feels that the schools can handle. Last year we came to it a lot later than we did this year, so we have a lot more time to plan and prep for it. But again, given how much need there is in our community, let alone the rest of the communities in Ohio, this is an opportunity to kind of do something for them, especially in honor of September 11th itself.
I still have the same concerns I did last year, and one would be setting a precedent of endorsing if a community member comes before the board and asks us to endorse their program, and how are we going to pick and choose in the future. Secondly, it does say in the resolution that we will encourage our district to take part, and that puts the pressure on our principals and on our buildings. At the beginning of the year, when I would like the focus to be getting the school year started on the right foot, and I don't want, as a board member, to put that kind of pressure on the employees. And I also worry about the parents who've put out a lot of money for school supplies, fees, clothing, and then they feel a pressure, or the kids do, to bring in the canned food or whatnot. So I still have the same concerns as I did last year.
Any other discussion?
Is there a possible way of rephrasing it to avoid the concerns Board Member Tornero brings up?
But I think just the signing of the resolution in itself is saying it's something we back up, is going to give up, you know, why would we sign it if we didn't expect action?
I guess I looked at it as, you know, if anybody, you know, if any schools, you know, feel think it'd be a good idea, you know, yay, go them. We'll support you, recognize you, or let you throw a pie in somebody's face. It hadn't occurred to me the issue of pressure. So I don't know what to. I don't know if that's mainly a hypothetical or if that's based on some actual, you know, experience in similar situations in the past.
Well, after last year, there was little to no disruption that I heard of, and obviously I'm very well in tune with what goes on in our district, so I didn't hear anything. And again, this is something that schools can get as involved or not involved as they choose. The whole purpose of this is actually it's a month-long action in honor of September 11th, and there is a great need in our communities, and I understand, you know, the financial considerations again, but there are those out there. Much like what we heard earlier, you know, we have full bellies, we're sitting in comfortable chairs. There are others out there in our community that we live in that don't have those options, and I would hate to deny our students the opportunity to even contribute, no matter how much it is, just to have a chance to make a difference in somebody else's life.
I would support this because I think that school has already begun, and this is another lesson that is incorporated into our education of our children, and that is to the ability to give and to have empathy for others. I know the beauty of this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this food stays right in your own community, and we have so many needy people right here in our own community. So we're helping those who are among us and those children who are among us. I don't think that it really takes away, but I think it adds to lessons that are already going on in school, and to grab a can off the shelf of maybe something that you already have. I don't see that as a hardship at all. I think this is a statewide effort to stock local pantries, and we have two now. We're very blessed, and I think this is a great way to help them and to teach our kids. Maybe not a math lesson or a science lesson, although definitely I've seen schools turn these type of events into something like that, but definitely teaches them to do good things from the heart.
Did we get a second on that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
Madam Superintendent, from your position as superintendent, do you have any additional insights to offer on concerns with measures like these?
I have nothing else to add tonight.
Okay.
Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Begany?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
No.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Motion's passed. Item 6.01, the superintendent may speak on items.
President Begany, members of the board, many of the things that I was going to highlight you've already said, so thank you. But I would like to welcome the staff and the students in the community back to school. I've been visiting schools and have seen really good things, a lot of organization and structure trying to indoctrinate our students back into the school life. Particularly at the high school, I really enjoyed the freshman day. I thought, again, that was a good idea to give the kids, freshmen, a chance to learn the building and the campus and understand what the expectations are, and so highly in support of the freshman first day. We have been busy all summer with making plans for schedules and hiring and new teachers, new staff orientation, opening convocation. Lots of good things are going on. But we did have a real serious talk at convocation, and I've been speaking with the administrators around our local report card that's going to be coming out within the next 30 days, I hope. And we do have some work to do. So I challenge the staff and the administrators to focus on the important stuff, and that's about improving outcomes for kids. We want our kids to be able to compete with kids, not just across town but and across the country, but globally. And we have to get down to the business of making sure that our report card reflects what our kids can do and what they know, and highly reflects the wonderful community that we live in. So that's our charge, and I'm sure we're going to tackle it with great tenacity. I know the administrators have taken it on, and I'm looking to see some good results this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
And item 7.01, visitors that have requested to speak before the board. There was no one pre-scheduled, but we do have one, Jennifer Bernay, if you would like to come down. If you could just announce your name, address, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just a reminder that all proper decorum must be observed. No personal attacks on individuals or anything of that nature, which I'm sure you're well aware of.
You'll be lucky I can get through this without crying again. My name is Jennifer Bernay. I'm at 8113 Priestley Drive, Reynoldsburg. My name is Jennifer Bernay. I'm sorry, good evening to everybody. I spoke at the board meeting in May regarding my eighth graders' denied acceptance at the East STEM Academy. I am not one who looks forward to addressing the school board, or am I one that does well at public speaking in general, but I am a mom who will always be an advocate for her children. Why I'm here tonight is to give a voice to my son, who had his right to choose his academy taken away at no fault of his own. In February, we attended the Academy Freshman Orientation Meeting. My son chose eSTEM. He discovered at the meeting that graphics design might be a pathway he would be interested in, but he loves science, math, and has an interest in robotics. So choosing the Encore pathway threw us for a loop. We were told that we could take our selection cards home to research our decision in order to make the right choice, as transfers might impact student progress. The next day, I called his school to ask why our second choice had to be at a location that housed pathways that were of little interest to him at the time. They suggested I call another person to get that answered, which I did, but I received no response. I then contacted the school counselors at both eSTEM and Encore to ask what might be our best direction, since his interest was in the eSTEM pathway, but also in the Encore pathway. Days passed, and neither counselor returned my calls. It was then I was given another contact person who returned my call within 5 minutes, and our decision was made immediately. However, by this time, it was a day before the deadline. So once again, at no fault of my son's, but a result of researching his best path and not receiving return phone calls when seeking advice. No worries, we were told, because everyone receives their first choice. Now, many times I've seen people shake their heads when they hear this, but I'm telling you, this is what we were told, not once, but every single time. I was never told about a time date stamp, nor that time was of the essence or a possible enrollment cap. In fact, in a newspaper article published in this week's news, the board stated that their goal would be that every student gets his or her first choice of academy. Now, how can that be if this year's eighth grade class is one student less than last year's eighth grade class and we had to endure enrollment caps? And now this brings me to why I'm here tonight. My son, who has followed the rules, done well academically, and heeded the advice of others, has been denied his choice in academies. This decision not only affects this 1 year, but will impact my son for the next 4 years. He had planned to attend eSTEM his freshman and sophomore years with the possibility of transferring to Encore his junior year to entertain the graphic design pathway. That is no longer a reality for us. My son cannot switch his sophomore year to eSTEM and then his junior year to Encore and hope to be on target for graduation. I walked away from that May board meeting feeling defeated, and I came to terms with the fact that he would attend his required second choice, Bell Academy. I want to be clear that I am not saying any academy is better than the other, but I am only speaking about where my son has the strongest interest in attending. I was told that he would be automatically put on the wait list for eSTEM. After the May board meeting, it was brought to my attention that having him transfer to the HS Squared Academy would better align with his interest, being a STEM school. At freshman orientation for the Livingston campus, I arrived with the intent on switching him to the HS Squared Academy. I was told he had to fill out a transfer request form and it would be approved sometime in June. I worked with administrators to design a schedule for him at the HS Squared Academy so his transition to ESTEM sophomore year wouldn't put him too far behind his classmates. Again, I have no guarantees that this will, in fact, take place. About 10 days before this school year started, there was a rash of openings at ESTEM, which provided some hope. But when I called to find out where he was on the wait list, I was told that he had been removed from this list after we requested the move to HS Squared in June. There is no documentation of a waitlist protocol on the Reynoldsburg City Schools website. Per board policy, students who live in Reynoldsburg will get priority over open enrollment students. This should apply to the waitlist as well. There is also mentioned that any current open enrolled student will not be displaced, but yet we are displacing students that are residents. I was told that there are about 5 open enrollment students at Summit Campus per grade level per academy, not including freshmen. This could potentially be up to 30 open enrolled students attending Summit Campus this year. There are approximately 62 students on the ESTEM wait list. Many students have had to change their choices, some have disenrolled from our district, and some are lamenting that instead of switching their sophomore year, they will just remain where they are, thus giving up on their ideal choice. While some may say they might discover a new interest, they should have been allowed to make that decision through discovery and not have it forced on them based on an enrollment cap. Time and time again, I have watched my son, who thrives in the right environment, be let down more than once. I have seen him overcome obstacles during his time in our district, but most importantly, I have seen what he can achieve when he's in his element. I know that the school year has just started, but for my family, this heartbreak that began in April continues. The administrators that have helped us during this time have been amazing and accommodating, and my heartfelt thanks goes out to them. But my son continues to pay the price for the others who have failed us. I know others are in the same boat as we are, and I've been told to be patient, but my concern for him will always be first and foremost, and I will continue to advocate to see that he is placed in an environment that is right for him. If he is placed in an environment that he doesn't want to be in, sooner or later his grades might reflect this, and in essence our district, if there are more students that are in the same boat. In closing, what I have learned is I cannot trust what I am told. I have put my faith, trust, and hope into this district since becoming a resident 15 years ago. I have always supported our teachers, our principals, bus drivers, and secretaries, but now I am broken, and my son pays the cost of this flawed system. When this cap was instituted, we needed to know how this would be fixed for the following year, sooner rather than later. What will our options be for next year in terms of transferring? What guarantees can be offered for students that are denied their first choice? A guidance type of process should be established to assist students in the selection process and possibly an eighth grade mid-year survey to determine interests in academies. You and your families have no idea what we've been through these past several months. You have not watched your child be so devastated by a decision and have it completely out of your control and unable to be repaired. My once confident, proud, and enthusiastic young man has turned into a second-guessing, uneasy bundle of nerves. Yes, he will rise to the occasion and face it with determination and humility, but it will not be from any advice that we have gotten so far. This needs to be addressed now so that we can guarantee our course for my son's sophomore year and any future students who find that they are unfortunate to be a part of a large class. What are you doing so I can guarantee my son can get into the ESTEM Academy next year? He is on the wait list now, so what has to happen to get him over there next year? Do 30 10th graders have to drop off before he has an opportunity to do a transfer? Thank you.
Just to let you know, the timeline that the superintendent and Mr. Whitman and I had talked about is waiting until obviously the first weeks of school were done. We are planning to have our first meeting to get these options together, which is one of the things that the board will have to make a decision at that point in time, is if we're going to continue to be a first choice district or if we're going to go to some other system of function. Once that question is answered, which will be very, very soon, I assure you, then we're trying to put everything in place to make sure this doesn't happen. We've already talked about enrollment figures going as far down as I believe we talked even almost to the fourth grade level to figure out a projection from here on all the way throughout to make sure that certain situations like this don't happen again. we sympathize. I sympathize. We are working on it, and we're doing everything we can, and we will let everybody know how this all works out, because I don't want to do this to anyone else's. I've seen the pain in your eyes, and I hear it in your voice. It's not something any of us wanted to
but
see.
Do they have a guarantee for next year, the ones that weren't?
I don't want to speak and say a guarantee right okay. now. And the reason
and that's
why
what
is because,
I need.
No, I understand. Right now, with the knowledge that I have about enrollment, as of right now, no. I would like to have something for you a lot sooner. This situation should be resolved before the end of the semester. I would like to think that basically you said the midpoint year for an eighth grade survey, something like that, around that November, December area, this thing should be settled completely by that point in time. If not, then we're not doing what we're supposed to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 8.1 and 8.02, finance statements. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Second?
Second.
By Mr. Whitman. Or I'm sorry, by Mr. Truex. Any discussion?
On tonight for approval are the July 31st financial reports, and also, as we do almost every August, is the approval of the appropriations for the fiscal year. By state law, we're required to approve these by the end of September. We usually have them done in August, and what this does is it sets the budget for all the funds for the year, and then the board from time to time will be asked to make modifications to those budgets. This is a little bit different than the forecast, which is just the general fund, which is then due in October. So, of course, we'll modify the general fund appropriation at that time. These are pretty pro forma. They're based either on projections for this year. We look at the history of all the funds the prior year or two, any activity statements from the buildings as far as like student activities or principals' accounts. And so they're there on for your approval for tonight.
I know we've talked before. I know it's not on here. Do you mind telling everybody a little bit about the Ohio Online Checkbook?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot all about that. Recently, we have participated in the Ohio Checkbook. And what that is, and there's a link on the district website, is you can go onto our website, click on the link, and it takes you actually to the State of Ohio Treasurer's website, where we have uploaded all of our expenditures for all of fiscal year 2016. And starting the month of July, we'll be doing an upload each month. So at the end of each month, probably by all the 10th each of the next month, you should be able to go out and see everything that the district has spent for that previous month. There's different filters and options. You can do graphs. You can pull up the expenditures by vendor or by date or by fund. So all the information is out there for anybody who has an interest in looking at it. And thank you for reminding me of that.
Can I just ask a question? So when each month we do get a list of, and it's in the board agenda, a list mm-hmm. of all the, every check that we've written, all
Correct.
The money that goes out. So
yes.
This sounds like sort of like that, but it's a much more user-friendly.
Yes, yeah, because okay. what you get is just a simple printout of our expenditures for the
this
month.
It's very
checks.
Long.
yes, and it's very long. With this, is that exact same information has now been uploaded to the Ohio Checkbook. So rather than having to go down through it and look, you know, page through that, if you have an interest in a particular vendor or a particular service, you could actually go out there and look it up on Ohio Checkbook. We've even found that we've used it a couple times because the system's much easier to navigate than our state software system.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason for this, when we talked about it, is just another way for us to increase transparency amongst the district, so that way everybody knows where the tax dollars are being spent, and that's why I'm glad that it's finally out there. And the best part is, it doesn't, outside of a few bugs I think that other districts had to deal with, we waited just long enough that all the issues got worked out of the system, so now it's very easy to kind of get in and out and upload our information, because I didn't want to make any more work for anyone on this one. So, any other comments, discussion points?
Yeah, so basically, the if I understand correctly, the appropriations is like a half budget. It's a budget consisting only of the expenditures, projected expenditures?
Correct.
Okay. I had a couple of questions about there. One is in item 18, there are several things labeled as a support fund. And can you tell me what a support fund is?
You mean in Fund 18, 018, is that what
it is? 018, yeah.
Yes, what that is, the state software, the state accounting system calls it a support fund. Those are our principals' funds. Mm-hmm. So each building has one, and the principals can do fundraisers. Picture money goes in there, money from some of the pop machines in the schools. They do various fundraisers. So those are school support funds.
Okay. And I noticed they're broken down by academies in the high school.
Yes.
And that HS Square, Bell, and Encore are at 10,000, and ESTEM is at 15,000. So I was wondering why the difference?
That's a function of each of the buildings will turn in a budget at the beginning of the year, and then that often changes during the year as they decide to do different fundraisers. So that was just simply a function of the budgets that they submitted.
Okay, thank you. Item 019, about $100 for trans staff. I didn't know we had trans staff, but, you know, hey, it's 2016, it's none of my business, so I'll just, you know, I'll let that go. Item 019, it says the Franklin County Pathways Grant. That's a pretty significant chunk of money, about like $500,000 there, or several hundred thousand dollars. I was just wondering what that is.
We participate. The 019, what those funds do is any grants that we get that are not state or federal but are local grants are categorized in those funds. So that just happens to be one of the grants that we have.
Okay. And finally, item 023, there's something called the Flexible Spending Plan, Section 125.
Yes, we offer a flex spending account plan to our staff, and so we account for that in that fund.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Neil has taken good use of our online checkbook.
that was just Tammy's thing. The only thing I did with the checkbook was look up Limbach and got all the things we spent on our AC vendor.
Okay. Have we had a first and second already?
Yes.
I lost my train of thought. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Items 9.0, 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all on for action. Any comments before we make a motion?
President Begany, members of the board, a couple of announcements. I think Mr. Whitman already mentioned. Big welcome to Kim Cox, our new Bell Academy leader. You'll see next to Kim's name that she is serving as an associate principal. That is a new title. Really, Kim is going to be doing almost the exact same work as the principal. She wanted to spend her first year shadowing and working with alongside Mrs. McLeod, and so we've made that adjustment just for her own personal interest. But we are excited to have her there. Kim's going to be a great leader. She's been a staple in that school for many, many years, over 20 years, right, Kim? And has really good connections with the staff and family, so I'm very pleased about that. Mrs. Giddens was here, and she was here with her family. I was hoping that we'd be able to introduce her and her family. She is going to be the new assistant principal at Livingston. I think we're sharing her between HS Square and Bell. Mrs. Giddens was a Bright Fellow last year working at Livingston campus, so we're pleased to have her, and she lives in the community, and her children attend school here. Two of them graduated, actually, last spring. And Nicole Carter is the new assistant principal at Encore. Give away, Nicole. Nicole comes to us from Canal Winchester, and she's going to be working alongside Gary Young, who we hired last month to be the leader at Encore. And let's see. Oh, it is with bittersweet, it's a little bit of sadness that you'll see last minute resignation I put on tonight for Tricia Moore. Our Director of Partnerships and Shared Services is venturing on, taking on a new challenge, and we'd like to thank her. I thank you, Tricia, for all you've done on behalf of Reynoldsburg students and staff for the past 9 years, and I wish you well. Don't be a stranger. Thank you. And another employee, Pat Starling, the secretary at Hannah Ashton Middle School, who's been with us for several years, decided she's going to retire. She's going to retire at the end of the month, and I'd like to publicly thank Pat, Jamie, send our best to her, and thank her for her service to our students and our staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
I had a couple of questions,
sure.
If that's okay before we... Superintendent Thomas Manning, are we replacing the library aide at Wagner Road Junior High. Are there plans for that? I just didn't say I saw a resignation without a counter hire.
President Begney, board member Dunlap, we are replacing that position.
Okay, great. And can you just tell me where we are in hiring a new gifted coordinator? Since again, we won't see that here, as you explained to me, that's an ESC hire.
Absolutely, we hired one today.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, okay. Great.
And will we introduce her maybe at a board meeting or?
We have not done that in the past, but we certainly can reach out and see if she'd like to come next month and be happy to do that.
Okay. We always get a chance to kind of put a face to a new name here, and we can't do that through the ESC, so maybe that would be a nice thing to be able to do.
While we're on the topic, I assume that obviously everyone out there that's concerned and hearing things about class sizes and that, Superintendent and I talked before the meeting. The first few days, the first few weeks really of school, there's going to be a lot of fluctuation amongst, you know, the rooms and things of that nature. Ms. Thomas Manning, did you want to share with anyone as far as any where we're looking on staffing and how it's all starting to kind of shake down a little bit right now?
President Begney, members of the board, I haven't heard anything about class sizes.
Okay.
So that's new. You share with me tonight. We have been watching enrollment and talking with principals and counting students and making sure that we are living within the spirit of the collective bargaining agreement. And we've had to make some changes here and there, but I have not heard any overwhelming concerns about class sizes from the administration.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Tenera. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. If there's no further discussion, we'll go ahead and take the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. And thank you to all of those who've put in your time with Reynoldsburg, and welcome all the new ones. All right, moving on, item 10.01, Everest High School. A little background on this for everyone.
President Begney, members of the board, Everest High School is one of the five charter schools that we sponsor, and as is customary, whenever they hire somebody, and their staffing agreement has to be approved by the board. So this is just kind of customary, and they are apparently accepting the resignation of an intervention specialist.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex, second by?
Seconded.
Mr. Whitman. If there's no further discussion, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Item 11.01 and 11.02, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
Truex.
Truex.
President Begney, members of the board, these are just two contracts. One, Step by Step, is an agency in which we secure their support to support a high-needs autistic student. And the second one is for interpreting services for one of our students who needs sign language.
Any other discussion?
I see that there are some handbook revisions for the high school. We approved all the handbooks last month, so I was wondering what.
That's the next one. We're on 11.
Oh, oops. No further questions. For now.
Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll, please?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. What I'm sure will be an interesting discussion. Items 12.01, 2, 3, and 4. Mr. Whitman, do you have any questions?
Why, yes. So I see that there's a couple of adjustments here. One is a revision to the high school handbook, and the other seems to be an adjustment to a contract already approved for a foreign language instructor. So I was just wondering what the changes are.
President Begney, Mr. Whitman. The program of studies, there were some tweaks because we made changes to the dress code last month. We had to update the handbooks to reflect those new changes. There was also an addition of a couple of the music courses that were added that needed to be added into the new program of studies. The contract you referenced from through the ESC for foreign language, we had to add another FTE in French, and we contract with the ESC for those services, and that is what that is reflected there.
Okay, I was just confused because I thought it said just a revision or an adjustment or something. So
we had approved some contracts previously earlier in the summer
for
different FTE for foreign
language. Oh, so just adding one more to the mix. Okay, thank you.
Do I have a motion?
Can I ask a...
Absolutely.
Just about, because I know I had some questions, and I was a little surprised that our French students in high school were doing distance learning with a foreign language. Mm-hmm. And can you just tell me a little bit about the class and why, you know, they're doing that rather than hiring someone ourselves on staff?
Well, President Begney, members of the board, again, the ESC, we've used the ESC to contract for foreign language teachers for several years, I think 5 years now. It's not that we don't have the flexibility to hire a FTE in district if we want. Our relationship and partnership with the ESC affords us several other opportunities. For example, in June of just past June, as a member of the ESC and as our through our partnership, I was contacted and they shared that they were going to expand our expand their dollars to support the Mandarin Chinese classrooms that we have in our district. So they gave us $10,000 for supplies, field trips, materials. They give us money to support those programs. Another reason is the ESC has a broader access to, for example, native speaking teachers that we don't necessarily enjoy. They have a bigger net they can cast to get some teachers who actually speak the language, which has been a wonderful experience for some of our staff and students. And there is a difference in cost. If you break it down, there is that thing, that cost, that allows us to stretch our dollars if we work through the ESC. So there are lots of reasons why we broker with the ESC for foreign language, but we get more than we pay for.
Mm-hmm. So, but have we done a foreign, because I know we've used the ESC for many different, we even talked about this previously, that allows us some flexibility in our hiring and what have you. But have we done a foreign language class that is distance learning before?
Yes, we have. Yes, Mandarin Chinese is one that we've done. It's not ideal, it's not our first choice. We want to have a teacher in the classroom whenever possible. It is my understanding that this was the option that was available at the time. We're going to explore it this year. We'll assess it. And if it does not work out for our students in French, then we will utilize another option at the end of the year.
Okay. And, you know, forgive my ignorance, but for the Mandarin Chinese, do we still offer that? How did that go with the online learning or the distance learning for
the
Mandarin?
Well, we've done that for several years in so many different buildings. We did it at Summit. Just depended on the year, the teacher, the classroom, lots of different things, variables that played into that. I guess you'd have to talk to those individual principals that of those schools.
Has it been consistently in any one building?
Summit, is Melissa here?
I am.
Okay.
We've had Mandarin last year, this year, and then our very first or second year we had it, and then there was a gap at the middle level, so we stopped offering it as just an option, and then when we were able to secure that gap and make sure that kids had a path of Chinese, we offered it again starting last year.
Mm-hmm. And is it distance learning at the elementary level too?
It is. It's a hybrid. So we have a person here, Holly's here 1 week, and then she is distance 2 weeks, then on-site 1 week, and distance, and for second grade she's on-site every Friday.
And you found this to be successful?
Yeah, our kids love it.
Yeah.
Sometimes our parents haven't been as receptive, but I think it's on our part in terms of educating why Chinese as opposed to another language. It's not so much that we hear much about the distance part of it, as much as we hear about why Chinese as opposed to Spanish or French or German. Mm-hmm. And really that comes down to it being one of the STEM languages. One of the languages that they would use if they stay
on
STEM pathway beyond high school.
Okay. So well, and feedback that I got was more not Mandarin or not French, but was the distance learning. You know, I in a language. And I know it's done, you know, we can do it for health and we do it for other different things. But it was for language, which so often is something that is because of that conversation element. But not having someone necessarily in the room, if that was a detriment at all. But it sounds like it's...
Mills does the same thing. We have a hybrid of both buildings.
Hybrid. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thanks. I appreciate your input.
Any other discussion? I like the idea of Chinese. Obviously, I heard there's a lot of people in China, and they are obviously having the language issues out there, so that's a good idea. May I have a motion? No.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman.
Second. Got it right
there. Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 13.01, 2, 3, and 4 are all on for action. Mr. Starr, do you have anything to enlighten us with this evening?
One for approval are four items. The first one is the ESC lease for a classroom over at Baldwin Road Junior High. This is something we've done every year. Item 13.02 is basic consolidation of our elevators all under one contract. So this will be a three-year contract that will result in standard services across those elevators as well as some cost savings to the district. 13.03 is basically the approval of the schools that are eligible for payment in lieu. And item 13.04 is basically to authorize the school to basically authorize the META to participate in the bus purchasing program. This does not obligate the district to buy the buses, but in essence, you know, we're consolidating with us, with Hilliard, with a lot of other schools. We get better pricing and everything else, and so we've utilized this program the last several years. And last year, we basically set aside a kind of 10-year outlook in terms of our bus fleet, trying to look at a 12-year kind of bus life. I think this next year in that original plan, we were targeting five new buses.
As far as Taylor Road, can you give everybody an update on the hopeful working air conditioning for the second day?
Absolutely. So as most of you know, we've had some challenges with Taylor Road this summer. The issues early in the year, they weren't, unfortunately, not related. It would be like taking your car to the mechanic. You go by, you get it fixed, they fix the fuel pump, and then the air conditioning goes out and something else. So we've had some multiple issues over at Taylor Road. The latest issue was the compressor in the building failed. We were very fortunate that Limbach was able to get the part basically overnight, and within roughly 48 hours, we were able to get the system repaired and up and running. The reality is that building, the system in it, is 22 years old. Mm-hmm. That system is on its last legs. We've done everything we can to stretch those dollars and to make it last. We worked with Limbach this past spring to commission that building, to look at that system, to kind of do an assessment. We are in the process of engaging an architectural firm in which we will be looking at that system, as well as an engineering firm, to look at what's left in terms of the system, in terms of do we replace the whole thing, do we do the components, and basically put together a formal specs, you know, a formal recommendation in terms of moving forward. But we will be starting that process probably within the next month.
So if we find out we have to replace the unit, things of that nature, what kind of ballpark time frame are we looking at to get everything fixed up?
It all depends on, you know, ultimately if it fails, we'll do everything we can to get it up and running. That's mm-hmm. what we've always done. From a planning standpoint, we're probably looking around 3 months in order to design the system, to determine what the building's needs are, to bid the project, to get pricing back. Then ultimately from that, we will determine, do we replace everything immediately? Do we do it over 3 years? Once we bring in a design professional, we bring in the engineering firm, they'll be able to give us a more thorough assessment in terms of the system and everything else. The reality is these are very complicated systems. There's a lot of moving parts, and we'll need to bring in some professional assistance to help us with that process.
So best case scenario, the air conditioning will be fixed in December. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any other discussion?
I had one question. The annual lease of a room in Baldwin Road to the ESC, I was just wondering what class do they teach there?
I'm sorry.
The room in Baldwin Road that we're leasing to ESC, which Mr. Starr says is an annual thing.
Yes, it's a developmentally disabled unit.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion 14.01, move to adjourn. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Tornero. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Truex. Any discussion? Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Have a wonderful evening.